Ever feel like you're missing out on something? Like there's a whole story going on, right under our noses.
Yeah, like a secret history.
Exactly. And today, we're going to dig into one of those stories. We're going deep, really deep, into a whole decade of financial audits. Specifically, the city of Tecumseh, Oklahoma. We've got reports spanning from 2011 to 2020.
Wow, a whole decade. That's a lot of data.
It is. But trust me, this isn't about getting bogged down in spreadsheets. We're talking about, a city's story. We're seeing how Tecumseh made choices, what it prioritized, and how, those things changed over time.
So these audits are kind of like a financial diary for the city.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a behind-the-scenes look at how a city actually works. We'll see where the money came from, where it went, all that good
Yeah,
stuff.
it's fascinating.
And you, my friend, are coming along for the ride.
Yeah.
Your mission, if you choose to accept it, and I really hope you do, is to come away from this deep dive really understanding Tecumseh's financial journey. We've done the heavy lifting, going through the reports so you don't have to.
Excellent. Sounds like a good deal.
So let's jump right in. First things first, let's talk about Tecumseh's income. Where do they get their money?
Well, right off the bat, it's really interesting to see how some revenue streams stayed pretty consistent while others changed quite a bit. For example, property tax was a rock-solid foundation for them.
Okay, property tax, the bread and butter for many cities, right?
Yeah, pretty much. In 2011, it brought in, let me see, $64,739 for Tecumseh. And then by 2020, that had grown to $94,500.
Not a bad increase.
Definitely shows a steady climb, probably due to things like, property values going up and maybe some adjustments to the tax rate over those years. It's like their dependable workhorse.
Feel reliable. Okay, what else?
Well, then we have the general sales tax, which paints a bit of a more dynamic picture, I'd say.
Dynamic, huh?
Yeah, in 2011, it generated $649,354. But then by 2020, that number jumped up significantly to $945,419. It's a big leap.
Yeah, almost a 50% increase.
Yeah, you can almost feel like the pulse of the local economy in that growth. It definitely looks like consumer spending in Tecumseh was trending upwards over this period.
So basically, people were buying more stuff.
Exactly. Now, sales tax can be a little bit of a roller coaster, right? It goes up, it goes down.
Influenced by so many things.
Right, exactly. All sorts of factors, local trends, national trends, you name it.
But generally upwards for Tecumseh in this decade.
Seems that way. We also see revenue coming in from franchise fees or taxes.
Franchise fees. Now, what are those exactly?
Basically, these are payments that come from utility companies. Your local electricity provider, your gas company, that sort of thing. They pay for the right to operate within the city limits.
So it's like a fee for doing business in the city.
Exactly. And this revenue stream, it looks pretty stable. It stayed within a range of about, let me see, $12,000 to $16,000 throughout the whole decade.
Okay, so not a huge amount, but still consistent.
Yeah, like a reliable, smaller piece of the puzzle. Now, this is where things get really interesting. We see the appearance and then the growth of something called use tax revenue.
Use tax, that's a new one. What is that?
Yeah, so back in 2011, it brought in about $42,419. And then by 2020, it increased to $53,945.
Still not huge numbers.
No, but it's a steady increase. And the interesting thing is, a use tax is essentially a tax on things you buy outside of Oklahoma, but use in Tecumseh.
Oh, got it. So if I'm living in Tecumseh and I buy something online from like a store in another state, I pay this tax.
Precisely. It's a way for the city to get a piece of that spending, even though the sale didn't actually happen within their borders.
Makes sense. Online shopping has exploded over the last decade or so.
Definitely. So this use tax is like a way to adapt to that changing landscape, to capture some revenue from those online purchases.
Smart move. So we've got property tax, sales tax, franchise fees, and use tax, all contributing to Texas income. What else?
Well, we also have to talk about money coming in from outside the city itself. We call this intergovernmental revenue.
Ah, okay. So this is money from like the state government or the federal government.
Exactly. And one consistent source here is the alcoholic beverage tax from the state. It seems to be a regular source of general support for them.
Interesting. So a portion of those beer and liquor sales is going right back to Tecumseh.
That's right. But what I find particularly interesting are the grants that Tecumseh received. They really tell a story about the city's priorities and where they were focusing their efforts.
Grants. Okay. So money specifically given for certain projects or programs.
Exactly. And when you look at things like, say, streets and highways, you see some pretty big fluctuations. In 2011, they got $13,097 from the state for that. But then in 2018, that number jumps way up to $58,915.
A big jump.
Yeah, these variations likely match up with specific road projects that happened those years.
So they applied for and received state funding for those particular projects.
Precisely. And it's not just roads. Water utilities got some serious grant money, too. In 2013, they received a whopping $339,750 from other local governments.
Wow, that's a big chunk of change.
Yeah, almost certainly tied to some kind of major upgrade or expansion of the water system. And in that same year, wastewater utilities also received a grant, a smaller one though, $11,000 from other local governments.
Interesting. So they were strategically targeting those grants to improve their infrastructure.
It seems that way. These larger, less frequent grants are like key moments of development for the city. And we see other grants too for things like housing, economic development, community development, all sorts of stuff. It's not always spelled out in the revenue summaries, but it's definitely there.
So they were casting a wide net, looking for any and all opportunities to bring in more money.
Yeah, it seems like they were proactive in finding those funding sources. And then for parks and recreation, there's a notable grant from the state in 2015 for $43,574. So they were thinking about quality of life too, not just the bare essentials.
Absolutely. So the takeaway here is that Tecumseh was actively seeking out all kinds of funding opportunities, from state grants to federal grants, to support a whole range of projects.
Yeah, they weren't just sitting back and waiting for the money to roll in.
They were hustling.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about where the money came from. Now, the big question, where did it all go? How was it spent?
Right. Let's follow that money trail.
Let's start with, well, what's usually a top priority for any city? Public safety, the police and fire departments.
Yeah, public safety is a big one. Always takes up a significant chunk of a city's budget.
Makes sense. It's essential.
Absolutely. So looking at the police department, we see a general upward trend in spending for what they call personal services. This basically means salaries, wages, benefits for the officers and staff.
So the cost of employing all those folks.
Right. And in 2011, this came out to $533,791. And then by 2019, it had risen to $765,141.
Another noticeable increase.
Yeah, likely a combination of things like, you know, maybe they hired more officers, maybe salaries went up, or a bit of both.
And, you know, over a decade, you'd expect those costs to rise somewhat.
Exactly. Now, the operations and maintenance costs for the police, which covers things like fuel, vehicle upkeep, supplies that fluctuated a bit more.
So the day-to-day costs of running the department.
Right. It started at $194,672 in 2011, and then it actually dipped down to $145,725 in 2019.
So a decrease there.
Makes you wonder if maybe they invested in more durable equipment early on, which then led to lower maintenance costs later.
That's a good point. These things are all connected, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. One decision can have ripple effects for years to come.
Now, what about the fire department?
Well, we see a similar pattern there. Personal services were $212,245 in 2011 and reached $257,691 in 2014. But then operations and maintenance for the fire department, those started at $167,284 in 2011. But then they went down quite a bit to $51,984 in 2014.
Another big drop. I'm sensing a pattern here.
Maybe they made some strategic capital purchases early on, like new fire trucks or equipment, which brought down their ongoing expenses later.
It makes you wonder, right? It would be interesting to see the details.
And sometimes those details are in the reports. There are often sections on what they call capital outlays.
Capital outlays meaning?
Meaning those big long-term investments. Like if they bought a fleet of new police vehicles one year, that would show up as a capital outlay.
Okay, so those big ticket items that affect spending for years to come.
Exactly. And you can see how that upfront investment can then impact those operational costs later down the line. It's all a balancing act, really.
Now let's shift gears a bit. Talk about another essential service, roads, highways and streets.
Yeah, the veins and arteries of the city.
Keeping everything moving.
Right. So in 2011, Tecumseh spent, let's see, $153,351 on personal services for highways and streets. That's the salaries for road crews and such. And then $141,609 for operations and maintenance, keeping those roads in good shape. And then a smaller amount, $10,600 for capital outlay.
So new equipment, maybe some minor construction projects.
Exactly. But then something interesting happens in 2014.
What's that?
That capital outlay number jumps way up to 562,868 balls. That's a huge increase.
Wow, sounds like a major road project was underway that year.
Yeah, almost certainly. It probably made a big difference in the city's infrastructure. Now, these kind of one-time expenditures can really skew the overall financial picture for a specific year.
Sure, but they're also necessary for the long-term health of the city.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to another set of services that people often take for granted until something goes wrong. Utilities, specifically water and electric power.
Yeah, those are the unsung heroes, running behind the scenes, keeping everything going.
Right, so for the water supply system in 2011, we see $300,689 in personal costs, mostly for staff, and $439,660 for operational expenses.
They're keeping the water flowing.
Right. Now, by 2013, those personnel costs dipped a bit to $263,798, but the operational costs went up to $657,888.
So a significant increase in operational costs.
Yeah, and here's the kicker. Capital outlay for the water system was 221,276 stores in 2011. And then in 2013, it skyrockets to $1,017,197.
Over $1 million. That's a major investment.
Definitely suggests a huge project that year. Maybe a big upgrade to their water treatment plant or a massive expansion of their pipe network.
Yeah, definitely something major.
The increased operational costs in that same year could also be tied to that, you know, maybe getting those new facilities up and running. Now, the electric power system, that also has some big numbers.
People need their electricity.
Right, and it's expensive to provide. Operational costs were $2,527,056 in 2011, and then in 2013, it was still high at $2,359,604.
So keeping the lights on is no small feat.
Not at all. And we also see capital outlays for the electric system too, $68,208 in 2011, and then $355,000 in 2013. Shows they were investing in that infrastructure as well.
Keeping it up to date, making improvements.
Exactly. The numbers really highlight how much it costs to keep these basic services running.
It's easy to forget about that stuff until you lose it, right?
Very true.
Now, let's talk about the things that make a city a good place to live. The fun stuff. Parks, cultural activities, recreation.
The things that make life enjoyable. And it's important for cities to invest in these areas, you know? It makes the community more attractive, improves quality of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what did Tecumseh spend in these areas?
Well, they seemed pretty committed to it. In 2011, they spent $78,633 on personnel for parks and recreation, $41,372 on operations, and then a really big chunk, $240,419 on capital outlay.
Sounds like they built something new that year.
Yeah, maybe a new park or a big upgrade to an existing facility, maybe even started a new program.
So they were thinking big.
It seems that way. And by 2014, those personnel and operational costs were $102,542 and $58,376. Capital outlay was smaller that year at $18,700.
Still consistent investment, though.
Definitely shows they were prioritizing those recreational opportunities for residents.
Okay, what about libraries? Another vital part of a community.
Absolutely. And the financial audits show that Tecumseh was dedicated to their library. In 2012, they spent $66,274 on personnel, $29,154 on operations, and then a huge $318,079 on capital outlay.
Sounds like a major renovation or expansion project.
Yeah, maybe they added a new wing to the library, updated all the technology, something like that. A real investment in their community's access to information and resources.
Absolutely. And by 2014, those numbers were $125,746 for personnel, $43,512 for operations, and $18,700 for capital outlay. So they continue to support the library.
Definitely. Now, we've talked a lot about spending, but we also need to consider the city's overall financial health, their long-term stability. And that means talking about debt and cash reserves.
Okay. Less glamorous, but equally important stuff.
For sure. So when we look at Tecumseh's debt, most of it seems to be tied to their sewer and water systems.
Makes sense. Those are big, expensive systems to build and maintain.
Exactly. And these are long-term debts, you know, not something you pay off overnight. So in 2011, the sewer system debt started at $9,865,000.
Wow, that's a big number.
It is. And by 2014, the water supply system had a debt of $7,799,879. These numbers show the scale of their investment in those essential services.
So they're making these long-term commitments to ensure their residents have water and sewer services.
Right. But it's also important to see how they're managing those debts, and that's where sinking funds come in.
Sinking funds. Tell me more about those.
So a sinking fund is basically like a special savings account. The city puts money aside regularly to pay off those long-term debts. It's like a planned approach to debt management.
That's a smart move.
Yeah. In 2014, Tecumseh had $4,982,852 in these sinking funds. And then in 2015, it was $11,127,214.
Okay, so they were actively putting money aside to address those debts down the road.
Exactly. And that shows responsibility, you know.
Yeah.
Planning for the future. Now, besides those sinking funds, they also had other cash reserves. This is money they have on hand for various purposes, like unexpected expenses or future projects.
It's like a rainy day fund for the city.
Exactly. And in 2013, those reserves were $5,193,635. And then in 2014, it was $3,027,728. Gives you a sense of their overall financial flexibility.
So even though they had those big debts for their infrastructure, they were also taking steps to manage that debt and maintain a healthy financial position.
Absolutely. It's all about balance, right? Investing in the future while also being responsible with their finances.
Yeah, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've seen where Tecumseh's money came from, how they spent it, how they managed their debt. As we step back and look at this whole decade, what are some of the big takeaways? What are the patterns that stand out?
One thing that's really consistent is that steady growth in local sales tax revenue. It pretty much points to a gradual but persistent strengthening of their local economy over the decade. People were spending more, which is a good sign.
Yeah, that's a positive trend.
Now, the revenue from those intergovernmental grants, that was a bit more up and down.
Makes sense. Those grants are often tied to specific projects.
Exactly. It really depends on what projects were happening in those years and how successful the city was in securing those competitive grants.
So a bit less predictable than, say, the local sales tax.
For sure. Now, on the spending side, two areas consistently took the biggest chunk of the budget: public safety and utilities.
The essentials.
Exactly. And those big jumps in capital outlay we saw, those really highlight the years when they focused on major projects like road construction, water system upgrades, and that library expansion.
So they were making strategic investments in those key areas.
Absolutely. And those investments will have a long-term impact on the city.
And don't forget those sinking funds. Shows they were thinking about the future, planning for those debt payments down the road.
Exactly. It's a sign of responsible financial management.
So overall, it seems like Tecumseh was experiencing some positive economic momentum, actively seeking out external funding, and making those essential investments in both their infrastructure and their community amenities. It's a pretty impressive picture.
I'd say so. It shows a city that was thinking strategically about its future.
And all of this, from just looking at their financial reports, it's amazing what you can learn from these documents.
It's like piecing together a puzzle, you know? Each number tells a little part of the story.
Absolutely. And now here's a final thought for you, our listener. What do you think these trends tell us about the future of Tecumseh? Will that growth in local sales tax continue? How will changes in state and federal funding affect their ability to do those big projects?
Great questions.
And, you know, ultimately, how do all these financial decisions, these numbers on a page, affect the lives of the people living in Tecumseh? It's worth thinking about.
It definitely is. And for anyone who's really interested in digging deeper, checking out the local news archives from those years might be really interesting.
Yeah, seeing what was happening in the community at the time.
Exactly. You might find stories about those big projects we saw in the numbers, maybe some challenges the city faced, the local issues people were talking about. It would add a whole other layer to our understanding.
Because ultimately, behind all these numbers, there's a real community with a real story.
That's right. And that's what makes this stuff so fascinating.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the financial world of Tecumseh, Oklahoma.
My pleasure. Always interesting to explore these stories.